jewishaudio on kabod.org.
Bava Hashem, we are learning Bava Metzia Daf Nun Vav. We left off on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. We left off yesterday 6 lines from the top of the Amud. We're going to go back 2 lines. But firstly, a quick review. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehar Kol Yomei Dvarim. The Mishnah in Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught us the din of Chamisha Chomshin. And one of them is that if a person, a non-Kohen, a Zor, B'shoigeg, eats Trumas Meiser of the Mai, then that Zor not only has to give back to the Kohen produce in that amount, he also has to add a Chaimish. The Gemara began quoting the question of the Amoira Rabbi Lozer, that the Chachamim are going to be so machmir, we're only speaking about the Mai, the whole Chiyuv on the Mai is only Midrabana, and if a person ate it B'shoigig, to give it back to the Kohen, okay, but to give back with the Chaimish. So Shmuel answered that our Mishnah is Rav Meir. And he quoted the Rav Meir by the Dinam of Gittin, that if one did not follow a Tikkun Chachamim, that also Chachamim Chizuk L'Divreim Kishal Toiram. That Rav Meir said, Davlaras Amamzer Midrabanan, just like over there, over here also Chachamim Chizuk L'Divreim, just like the Din Toiram. To which the Gemara quoted a question from Rav Sheshes that we find clearly by the dinim of Pidyon Maaser Sheni of the Mai, that Rav Meir is not as strict as he is by Pidyon Maaser Sheni itself. By Pidyon Maaser Sheni, you can't be poida from Kesev on a Choshes. By Pidyon Maaser Sheni of the Mai, you could be poida from Kesev on a Choshes. So we left off and that answered Rabbi Yosef, that's where we're up to. There again, let's read 4 lines from the top of the Amid, that you're right. That Rav Meir, by the dinam of Pidyon, as we spoke out yesterday, they were lenient. And therefore, for example, you can be poida from Kesev on the Choshes. However, Machmer hu b'achilosoi. However, if a person ate the Meiser, Trumas Meiser of the Mai, there he is, Machmir. As we learned in our Mishnah, meaning you have to pay the Chaimish. The Tanya, and I'll prove to you that when it comes to eating Maaser Sheni, even only of the Mai, we treat that as stringently as eating Maaser Sheni itself. The Tanya, lo yitiru limkar the Mai, elo lesitin bilvad. Which means that when you have a wholesaler who buys from many people and sells it wholesale, says the Braisa that before a person resells Maaser produce of the Mai, they themselves have to separate again all of the Maaseris. And we don't say that if the middleman is selling it to a chaver, who always is machmer, let the buyer, let the final client separate it. We don't allow that. Because if a chaver buys it from a businessman who's a chaver, he's going to think, if you sold it to me, you for sure already separated the maisers. However, they did give a heter that when you have a sitoin, when you have a wholesaler, a wholesaler, when he's selling what he bought wholesale, he is allowed to sell it without separating Maaser the Maaseris. Let's quickly read inside the Rashi. I'm reading inside the Rashi. Lo yitiru limkar demai, lo yitiru lechaver, halakeach demai, reshim kerenu lachedim ad sheyaser, elo lesitin bilvad. Says Rashi, meaning if the sita and if the wholesaler is a chaver, lo yitzrichu laaser. They did not obligate the wholesaler to separate the maaseris. Elo moichroi, he can sell it as it is the mai. And v'haloichai mimenu yafresh maaser oisav. Why is that, says Rashi? Shehakol yoidim shehasitin mikamei ama'aretz likeach. Everyone knows that a wholesaler is buying it from many suppliers. Shehasitoin, the definition of a wholesaler here is min hamashpiyim limkor b'mido gaso. Whatever he sells in bulk. So since he's selling it in bulk, he can sell it without separating maaseris. Back in this braisa, however, ubala bayis, but what about a retailer? a retailer that buys produce from Am Haaretz, Benkach u Benkach, whether the retailer is selling as he normally sells, a little bit at a time, or if a retailer sells b'midah gasa. There are some times that a retailer has a tremendous client and the client is buying mamish bulk. So even though he's selling it in bulk, and when the wholesaler sells produce in bulk, the wholesaler doesn't have to separate maisris from the mai. However, Rav Meir holds that a retailer, even in bulk, sarach la'asir, has to separate all of the maisris, divrei Rav Meir, and that's the proof. What's the fear? That the final buyer will think, I bought it from a businessman who's a chaver, so the person who sold it to me already separated the maisris, he might end up eating it. So because of that fear, Rav Meir held that a balabayis, a retailer, always has to separate maisris, and that's the proof. Because by sitin, since he both, everyone knows that a wholesaler buys it from many suppliers, and it's inevitable that one of them is going to be an amaretz, and he's selling it in bulk, you can only there can you be lenient. There, the final buyer will know that the wholesaler didn't do anything. He bought it and he resold it. Chachamim hold, the chachamim are more lenient. That echad hasitin ve'echad balabayis, it doesn't matter who the middle person is. Moicher, Rashi says, when he's selling wholesale, meaning when he's selling b'midah gasa, when he's selling in bulk, or v'shaleach l'chaveiroi v'noisen l'bimatanov, he's sending something and giving it as a gift to his friend, the Chachamim were lenient in these two cases, einer choshesh, the middleman, the one who's selling it in bulk, even though he's a retailer, for sure, a wholesaler, or a gifter, they don't have to be choshesh, and they can pass it on the way they got it, and the final recipient will know that they have to separate the maisers. We see here again that Rav Meir is more machmer than the Chachamim when it comes to the fear that someone might eat something that was untithed, the fear, the rabbinic fear that the mai, maybe it was not separated. So that's where we're at. Good. Masiv Ravina. Here comes along Ravina and he challenges bringing the following Mishnah in the Mai. Now, before we read the Mishnah, let's give a few words of introduction. When it comes to separating Trumas or Maisris, firstly, there's a rule that Ein Toidimin Min Hayofa Al Hara V'Al Hara Al Hayofa. When I separate all of the separations, first of all, I can have many piles together. They didn't grow in the same field. I'm the same owner. Certainly, as long as they're mamish together, it's called Min Hamukav, I can normally separate from one pile on the other. Let's say this pile has 100, this pile has 100. For Truma, for Maisa, I have to separate from each 110. I can take 20 from one pile for both, as long as they both have the same quality. We don't allow someone to separate good for bad and bad for good. That's rule number one. Another very important rule. What happens if you have two piles, Chevra Halkop? One pile needs to be tithed midday raisa, and the other pile only needs to be tithed midrabanan. So this is what happens. If I'm taking from the Torah pile, and I'm having in mind that what I'm taking for here should be good for the pile that only needs to have separations midrabanan, that which I separated is nothing. The separation itself remains tevel, because you're not allowed to do that. And in reverse, even worse, if I have a pile that only has a chiyuv midrabanan, for example, demai, and I have another pile of that type of produce that has to be separated, that's tevel midoraisa, and I take from the rabbinic group 10% for the Torah pile, doesn't work. The entire Torah pile remains tevel. You're never allowed to separate from Torah and the Rabbanan and the Torah. And in the case where you separate from a pile that is only obligated to have Maisris separated midrabanan for a pile that has a chiyuv midoraisa, you understand? What I separated is not valid, and therefore the tevel minatoira remains tevel minatoira. Now, if that's the case, what were to happen if you were to buy demai from two separate amaratzim? That's the key for this. Now, let's not forget that by Torah law that goes after Roiv, even Bizman Bayesheni, the majority of the Amaratzim separated all the Trumas and the Maisras. It's a Tikkun Chachamim that since there is a minority that didn't, Maybe this Am HaAretz didn't separate, and as we spoke out, at least some of the dinim yesterday, it's not negeya all the dinim, that some of the maestres have to be reseparated. But it's only a chashash. Now let's think about this. If the Chachamim said that when you buy produce from an Am HaAretz, midrabanan, you have to separate some of the maestres. Let's say just you have to separate maestres. Really, there's two things happening over here. First of all, even if the owner actually did it, you're mechuyev to do it again. That's the tikkun chachamim. But that's only called a separation, midrabanan. But there's also a possibility that the owner taka did not separate anything. And if that's the case, this is really tevel midrais. And therefore, if I were to buy produce from two amaratzim, they're both called demai, I cannot separate one on the other. Because maybe the one from which I'm taking the maestres for both, that actually was already tithed by the owner. Doesn't matter, the Chachamim says I have to tithe it, so midrabanan I have to separate. Maybe the other pile that I brought from a different Am HaAretz, he taken did not separate. So that is tevel min ha-toira. If I separate from rabbinic tevel for also toira tevel, the toira tevel remains tevel. Now that we have this clear, now we're going to learn the following Mishnah. Now this Mishnah is speaking about a nachtoim. We interpret the word nachtoim, a baker. When we think about a baker today, we're thinking about someone who actually does the baking. It's going to become evident that when the Mishnah spoke about a nachtoim, and we'll see later, of a palter, we're speaking about people that did not do the baking on their own. A nachtoim was a smaller shop. He only sold retail. Okay, but the Havamina is that even the baker that only sold, he didn't bake it, he bought it from different suppliers. And then we're going to learn later about the Palter. And we're going to clarify a little bit the Metzias of the Nachtam. But now we understand the Nachtam is someone who has a bakery, not that he bakes, he buys and then he sells. So says the Mishnah, Halakech min ha-Nachtam, if I buy challah from a Nachtam, and this Nachtam is an Am HaAretz, and he could have bought the bread also from Amaratzim, because now we're thinking he might have bought it from different suppliers. So says Rav Meir, who's the Tanna Kamma, number one, Ma'asid alacham, min achama alatzinenes, u min atzinenes alachama, that I can, if I bought bread today, some of the breaker's bread today was hot, some of it is cold. Which, what's the problem, what's the issue of hot and cold? Hot bread is fresher, pashut. It's called yafa, it's better produce. It's ideal, it's better, by doiraisa dika maisris, for me not to separate min ha-toiv ala yofa, min ha-toiv, min ha-yofa ala ra, min ha-ra ala yofa. So one might have thought, the chiyuv of separating maisris here is only midrabanan, because everyone here are amaratzim. So says Rab Meir, that I could separate from cold bread and hot bread, even though cold is bad, and hot is good. Let me just clarify, you cannot separate min hara al hayofa. And that's number one. Another leniency, va'afilu mitfusim harbe, and even if they have different forms, which indicate that they might have come from different bakers, because l'cheira, every baker would have the same type of form. Now, we're going to see later, that's not necessarily the case. Even one baker can have larger breads, smaller breads, big forms, small forms, round, straight. But here we understand that even though it's possible that this baker, because the breads look differently, came from different suppliers, you could separate from one on the other. These are the words of Rav Meir. End of Mishnah. Asks the Gemara, asks Ravino. You, Rav Yosef, are substantiating that Rav Meir is also chizuk the chachamim when they make a takana, it's just as chomer as deoraisa. And that's also true by demai. Not for pidyon demai, but if you have a fear that you might be eating demai, it's mamish, we treat it like a deoraisa. So the final line of Rav Meir doesn't make sense. Bishlem minatzananas alachamon. The fact that Rav Meir allows you to take cold bread and use it also to be maestres for the hot bread, inferior bread for superior bread, that makes sense because we followed the shita of Rabbi Eloi. Look how many times we have Rabbi Eloi in Yevamos and Kedushin and Bava Basra and Temura. Toma Rabbi Eloi, minayin lutama min hara ala yofa. How do you know that even if bidiyevet, by doiraisa, if you take from bad produce and goat produce, just clarify what we said before, good and bad is good. You're giving better to God. You're giving better to the Kohen. You're giving better to the Levi. But if I have, like I said, a pile of 100. So let's pick about Truma. From each one, I'm going to give two. It's 2%. If I took four from the pile of bad, and I said, this is for this one and for the other one, I should not have done it, but if you did it, it worked. Shetra Masay Truma, because the Shenamarik is quoting a pasuk at the end of Parshas Korach. Now, after the story of Korach, that's where the Torah reiterates that the Kohen is chosen, and all the Chav Dalet Matne Kohen are written in that Parsha. And I think this is mamash the last pasuk in the Parsha. The Torah says, V'leisisu Olav Chet, that you will not bear a sin, because Baharimchem es chelboy mimenu, because you're going to set aside the best, the chelboy, and give it to the Kohen. What does this pasuk imply? That if you don't give the best to the Kohen, it's going to be a sin. Now that has a double meaning. On one hand, you know, it's not so nice. I mean, that was the sin of Kohen. But on the other hand, it worked. Because if you separate from the inferior for the superior, if that bechlal is not chal, then God would not say that it's called a sin. A sin means you did something, the action worked, but it's not sinish, it's missing. So says Rabbi Loi, that im einoi kodesh, if a person who separates something inferior for something superior, if that bechlal would not work, nesiyas chet lama, then the Torah wouldn't say that you did something, the chet. The Torah would say what you did is nothing. If it's not chal, you understand it's not a sin. Mikan, from here, Rabbi Loi understood, even though you shouldn't have done it, but if you did it, your truma is a truma. Now, here we're speaking about truma doiraisa, maisin midoiraisa. So now it makes sense that when we're speaking only about the mai, even though Rav Meir is machmer, since even by doiraisa, if you did it, it worked, so by the Rabbanon, by the mai, Rav Meir says, you can lechatchila give cold challah. You take from the cold batch and you separate the maestras from the mai. Not only for that batch, but also for a hot batch, even though the recipient is getting kalta bread, stale bread, you can do it lechatchila. That we accept. However, the kasha is, elo, afilu mitfusim harbei. Rav Meir says that if I go into a nachtoim and I buy breads that come from different forms, and again, the havamina is the nachtoim, not only does not bake, he buys it from different bakers, which means it's possible that he bought it from two different amaratzim. And we just spoke out, here, you're not allowed to separate rabbinic from a tevel midrabanan on tevel d'oraisa lechush dilma osi lafrushi minachiv alaptur umaptur alchiyuv, which in both ways, here in both ways it doesn't work. And the worst case will be, if I take from the d'rabanan on a d'oraisa, the d'oraisa remains tevel.
In the same thing, you know, when you buy from one retailer, maybe like this one only, like separate masses on these oranges, and on the opposite date, and you buy it together.
So like this, one thing is clear, we see from these dinim, that one Amo Aretz, either he separated all of it, or he separated Truma, everyone separated, but or he did not. Whatever the chshash was, he did not. But yeah, that's the point. Whenever there's a possibility that you are buying something from someone who bought it from different sources, you got a problem. Now, how would you know? At least by bread, it's easy. Because we are assuming now that anything that comes in one tfus came from one source. Like every baker had his way of baking challah. You can even notice it. So you should have to look to be mafresh, the maestres, from only each type on itself. So that's akasha against Rabbi Yosef. All of this is akasha because you are telling me that Rav Meir, like by Gittin, likewise by Maaser Sheni, holds that the Chachamim asu chizik l'dvarim kishal teiram. If we have to be that machmer, you got to be choishish for that. So Amar Abaya, before Abaya answers Ravina's question, we reviewed the whole back and forth. Abaya goes back to the whole shakel of Atarim. Again, we had Rabbi Lazar's question on the Mishnah. Why do you have to add a chaymish on if a zor ate Trumas Meiser of the Mai? Then we had Shmuel's answer, yes, Rav Meir. So, and then we had Rav Sheshes' question, we had Rabbi Yosef's answer, and now Ravina's question. So Amar Abaye, I want you to know, Rabbi Elazar, Damoyer, Rabbi Elazar, Shapur Kukashalei. A good question. He didn't like the fact that he didn't understand who is the Tana that would say a non-Kohen eats Trumas Meiser of the Mai, B'shoigeg. Yeah, he should give it back, but he has to pay a Chaimish. It's too Chomer. But Shmuel says, Abaya, Loi Shaper, Kamishanili. Shmuel's answer was not good. What was Shmuel's answer? Shmuel's answer is, yeah, Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that when the Chachamim make a tikkun, they make it just like a Torah. What was this case of Rav Meir? By Gittin. So says Abaya. Let me tell you why the answer is not a good answer. Tikrashi le Rabbi Lozer Misa B'dei Shamayim. What is the din if a non-Kohen eats Truma? What's the din? Misa B'dei Shamayim. Misa B'dei Shamayim compared to Malkus is terrible. Misa B'dei Shamayim compared relative to Misa B'dei Adam is not that terrible. So he asked a question, why would the Chachamim machmer in a case of Misa B'dei Shamayim by Doir Aysa? Why would the Chachamim be machmer in a case where Midoy Raisa, there's no Misa B'dei Shamayim? It's only Adarabanan. So what was Shmuel's answer? Rav Meir is that machmer. Where was Rav Meir machmer in the case of Gittin? Now we know, in the case of Gittin, Midrabanan, Midoy Raisa, you don't have to say Befani Nichlev or Befani Nechtem. What was the problem? The person did not follow through Kala Mashana Mimadbeya Shetava Chachamim B'Gittin Avlad Mamzer. Okay? But by Eishes Ish, Doy Raisa, if a woman has a relation with another man, that's a chiyuv chenek. That's misa b'dei shamayim, right? Or if she's engaged, a baskayim, skila. I mean, it's always going to be misa b'dei adam. U'mashana le'shmol misa b'ezdin. Maybe the Abai is asking.
After misa b'dei adam, not misa.
Dil mashani misa b'ezdin. If the rabbanan in the case of Rav Meir is connected to a din that midoy raisa this misa b'dei adam. Maybe there the chachamim, since God was so machmer, the chachamim also were made a chizuk. But maybe, that's the question against the answer, even though if a Zor eats Truma Midoy Raisa B'Shoigeg, he gets Misa B'Dei Shamayim, but it's only Misa B'Dei Shamayim, how do you know that the Chachamim will be so Machmer? So that's one observation. Now Rav Sheish is, who challenged Shmuel's answer, Shmuel did give that answer. He says, yeah, Rav Meir also Chizik L'Devreim. What was the challenge? His challenge was, we had two Mishnayos that we find that when you play them, Kesev of Maiser Sheni, one rule is you can't go from Kesev to Nochayshus. But when you're playing the Kesev of Maiser Sheni of the Mai, that was the question, you could go Lechatchila from Kesev to Nochayshus. So Rabbi says that's not a good question. But Abshesh is also Leishaper Komaisevlem. This is a great Gemara. Why? Because the Ka'amri Inu, both Rabbi Lazar and Shmuel's answer, what were they dealing with? A case of Misa. Misa B'dei Shamayim, Misa B'dei Adam. Why are you coming and you're challenging us from a din of Pidyon Maiser? What's the din of Pidyon? What happens if someone is Poy the Maiser Sheni, Midoy Raisa, and the Pidyon was not good? Midoy Raisa, which means that the produce that they have here is still Maiser Sheni. And if someone eats it, what's the violation? Not Misa B'dei Adam, not Misa B'dei Shomayim, love! God forbid to minimize a love, but relative here. So a viter, maybe when the do'iraisidika violation is relatively only a love, there the chachamim were tak even more lenient. So why are you hacking from Maiser Sheni? The comedy, ino miso, maisav l'rabsheish is the love. And we're quoting the pasuk, le'sucha lechel b'sharecha. You can't eat Maiser Sheni in your city, you have to take it to Yerushalayim. Which means if your pidyon did not work, so let's say you had kesev and you went to nochayshis, let's say the worst case scenario, it didn't work, so you think your kesef is mechulal. You're going to use that kesef to buy food here in your city. You only violated the law. However, ulamai de moisev rab sheishes, says the Gemara, even, says Abai, if we're going to overlook this issue, and obviously rab sheishes overlooked this issue, he did compare law to misa, rab sheishes, shaper komashanele. Abai says, I like rab sheishes' answer, that there is a din of pidyon there, Rav Meir is lenient. When it comes to eating, Rav Meir is machmer. But the problem is, El Ravina. But not, in other words, first he says that this final question is taka good. Once you accept the premise of Rabbi Yosef, that Rav Meir is machmer, when it comes to eating the mai, so you have a kasher from the nachtoim. El Ravina says, Abaya Gevaldik, you are asking a question from a Mishnah in the mai. If you were to look in the next Mishnah, you would have the answer. Because he quoted the Mishnah in the Mai, you can see from the Seder Sashas, Perek Hei, Mishnah Gimel, says, Abaya, L'sayei Lei Mipalter, Look in the next Mishnah. It's the Mai, same Perek Hey, Mishnah Dalet. It's not the next Mishnah. That Mishnah says the Tanan, Halakech Men Apalter. If I buy bread from a Palter, now it becomes clear. A Palter is a wholesale bread distributor. When people sell themselves in wholesale, it makes sense they taka have more than one supplier because they're overturning a much larger volume. Again, we are understanding the Nachtom is not a baker. He has a bakery, but he's only selling retail, which means he's making a much larger profit for each item, but he's selling much less. A Nachtom only has one supplier. That's going to be the answer. A Nachtom has one supplier. So you never have to worry about that he got it from two suppliers. Maybe one taka took off maisres. Maybe the other one taka did not do it. In other words, one is only midrabanan and the other is midraisa, and you can't be taken from derabanan on a deraisa. That was the question. But look at the next Mishnah. If you buy from a palter, there Rav Meir also says maaser only mikol min kol defus udefus divrei Rav Meir. And why do you have to be mafresh only from every form individually? Because when you buy it from the palter, you have to assume that every form of bread came from a different supplier. You can't be taken from one or the other. How do you understand the Mishnayos? From a Nachlim, you can be mafresh from one form, even on the other one as well. From a palter, not that palter mitrei tolosa gavra, that a wholesaler buys it from two sources or from three sources. And whenever you buy demai from two different amaratzim, you take it cannot be mafresh from one or the other. And so zavin, he buys it from two or three. But Nachlim, nami, let's explain. Not also he buys it from a few. Let's explain the Nachtoim. Michad Gavr Huzavim. Good. So we answered the question of Ravina. The only thing is that Abaya is challenging the whole back and forth. The first challenge Abaya has is that Shmuel's answer is not a good answer. Rav Lazar asked, why are you so machmer? Shmuel answered, Rav Meir. Rav Meir is machmer by Gittin. But Gittin is Misa B'dei Adam. So for this, Shmuel responds to Abaya that Shmuel's answer is a good answer. Says Rava, Shmuel Shaper Komishan Elei, because we don't differentiate between Misa B'dei Adam and Misa B'dei Shamayim. Shei Misa B'Olam. And since Shmuel found the din, the Braisa, where Rav Meir says that if a man gave a get without following a Tikkun Chachamim, the Vlad is a Mamzer, Midarabanan, but the Vlad is a Mamzer. In other words, Rav Meir says that Asu Chachamim Chizik L'Devreim in cases of Misa, then yes, then we could use that as a proof that in our Mishnah, where we're speaking about a Din Misa, not Misa B'dei Yodam, eating a Truma's Zor She'achal Truma, Misa B'dei Shomai, but Din Misa. That when there's Demai, Rav Meir holds Chayv Misa. And therefore, you got to be Machmer. And therefore, let's go, if a Zor did eat up that Truma, B'shoigig, he has to be penalized. He gives back the Keren and the Chaimesh, Gevaldik. Let's move on to the next Mishnah. Okay, so this is going back to the din of Aina'ah. And let's be clear again that there are three categories of Aina'ah. And let's use these words. There is whenever there was a price fraud of less than Aina'ah, we're going to use the word Aina'ah specifically, this is important. When there was exactly a sixth of either a over or under charge. Bidiyuk a sixth. Dear, again, there's a machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi holds that the side that was defrauded within a certain time frame has two rights that he can choose from. He can either say the wholesale is void, or he can demand for the money to be corrected, whichever way it's going. And then that's one din. If there was less than an Aina'ah of over or under charge, we learned in the conclusion, there is automatically a waiver. And if there is a price fraud of more than a Aina'ah, which means a sixth, there, either party has the right to nullify the sale. Mekachtos. Says our Mishnah, Ve'elu Dvarim, She'ein Lehem Aina'ah. Now more details and Daf Nun Zayin. Let's give you a heads up. We're speaking here not about less, not about more. Let's begin with that. We're speaking about if there was exactly a sixth over or under charge, ve'elu dvarim, that we don't apply the law of Aina'ah. The defrauded party cannot, I want my money back, cannot say, mekach to'us. What are the four dinim, four categories? Avadim, shtarais, karkois, and hekdeshes. This is important. We're starting with the sugya. And each one will have a proof in the Gemara from a pasuk. Meaning, if a person sells a slave, let's say, and they overcharged exactly a sixth, the person who got defrauded can never ask for his money back. Or the opposite. If the seller undersold exactly a sixth, he cannot say, I want more money. If you sell a shtar is all the banking businesses today. If you're selling documents that represent a debt. So, Marshall, if I owe you, which means you have the document, you had the power to sell that shibud to someone else. Sophisticated. And Taka, we learned many dinim about this, and we learned the din of Shmuel, that even after you sell it, you can be moichel me, but you can sell a debt document. What happens if the market value is, that if the debt is coming from a person who will pay, and it's going to be due in 30 days, that you discounted X amount, what happens if you didn't discount it as much as normally people do? So there's no din of Aino. Karkois, whenever you buy real estate.
When we say there's no din of Aino, that means it's a sale.
Yeah. And karkois, when you sell real estate, and hegdeshes. Now, what is hegdeshes referring to? An important Rashi, three lines from the bottom. We are both referring to a temple treasurer who has the right to sell temple property, who made a sale. There's no din of aina. And Rashi adds another important scenario. There are many times that I'm not a gizber, but I was magdish my animal. Bizman abayis. My animal is a carbon. Then my animal becomes blemished. Once an animal that had Kedushas Haguf becomes blemished, it has to be sold, and the money should buy another animal. A commoner. I can be selling it, but it belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So again, if there was a price fraud of a sixth, we don't apply the Dinam of Einoah correctly, which means the sale cannot be nullified, and the money does not need to be corrected. That's going to be the question on Daf Nun Zayin. I'm saying that's why I'm teaching that Einoah is specifically a sixth. Actually, we're going to see one opinion by Hegdish that the meaning here of Ein Lahem Einoah, that not only if Beis Din was the one that lost, can they demand the money back, but not only is that by a sixth, even by less than a sixth. That's another way of learning, only by Hegdish, of the meaning of this line, Ein Lahem Einoah. But again, more of that in the Gemara. Let's start is not. Any document that represents a debt doesn't have to be of money. Doesn't have to be of a debt. A money debt, yeah.
Oh, it has to be a money debt.
A money debt, yeah.
If I loan you a cow, or I loan you...
No, there's no, that's not called a shtar. A shtar is there's a debt. There's a choiv, and you're selling the debt. Now, not only that, but avadim, shtaris, karkois, and hegdeshois, ein lehem tashlumi kefil, pashut. If a ganav steals an evid, if a ganav steals a shtar, if a ganav steals land, even though really karka ain't an exelus, but he pushed out the owner. Or if a ganav steals from Hegdish and he's caught, then he doesn't have to pay kefil. You know, if he steals from Hegdish, many times, if it falls into the category of me'ila, that's another din. For me'ila, you have to add a choymish, but there's no din of kefil. Let's go to the case, a person stole an animal that belonged to Hegdish, and not only did he steal it, he slaughtered it, or he sold it. And normally, if you stole it from a commoner, tficha mechira, by the smaller animal, you have to pay fourfold. By the larger animal, by the axe, you have to pay fivefold. You don't have these penalties by hegdeshes. And more than that, amazing, shomer chinam eino nishma. If a shomer chinam is guarding an evid, a shtar, karkois, and hegdeshes, what's the din of a shomer chinam? That if it was gnei v'aveda, he's potter. But when he claims, upa, it was stolen, he has to take an oath. He doesn't have to take an oath. If he claims Geneva, he's potted without an oath and more. Shomer Socher, forget about an oath. By these four, if a Neisa Socher normally has to pay by Geneva Vaveda, if the Neisa Socher was guarding Avadim, Shtoreis, Karkois, or Hegdeshois, he doesn't have to pay for Geneva Vaveda, nor swear. Comes along Rab Shimon, and Rab Shimon limits the din of Hegdeshes. And we learned this Rab Shimon and Bava Kama. Rab Shimon Omer, turning to Daf Nun Hamed Beis. Hold on. When you're telling me that Hegdeshes don't have the din of Einoah, that's only when whatever is Hegdish, is fully Hegdish. But if you have an item that's not fully Hegdish, according to Rab Shimon, which is, Kachim Shuchai V'Achri Yusan, whenever a person says, Harei Olai, to bring a carbon. And when I separate a carbon, that carbon now is the carbon oil. But if something were to happen to that animal, I would have to replace it, because I said Harei Olai. So therefore, that animal still has value to me. If someone stole that animal, there isn't enough kefil. If someone was guarding that animal, Shemir Chinam does have to swear. Shemir Sachar does have to pay. Because it's not fully Hegdish. Yet, and Yesh Lamayna. Let's go to Ayna. That if this animal, like the example we gave, the animal became blemished, and the owner sold it, and there was, let's say, the owner didn't get all of the money, he got paid a sixth less, you can't say the animal was Hegdish. No, since the animal the whole time is on my responsibility, if I were to lose it, forget about redeeming it, I have to replace it, then yesh, then yesh lehem oyno.
Is it considered that the guy stole Hegdish?
And part Hegdish and part mine. However, only v'she'ein chai b'achri yusan, then ein lehem oyno. We had this a lot on Bava Kama. In words, whenever there's a chiyuv, achrai is the one who's chayiv in responsibility, is considered also its owner, so it's not fully Hegdish, so it's not exempt. Now, and by the way, the Tosfos Yontiv and the others say, even though the Mishnah gave the example of Ayna, it refers to the other dinim in the Mishnah as well. Again, Kefal and Talad Vehei V'choli. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda adds to the Tanakama. You, the Tanakama, say, what are the four cases that are not included in the din of Ayna? Avodim, Shtorois, Karkois, and Hegdeshois. Comes the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, and he adds, Afa Moicher Sefer Torah. Someone sells a Sefer Torah. And oy boy, oy, do we have today Ayna on this? How much does a Sefer Torah cost?
40,000.
You go to Bnei Brak, I can tell you. 40,000. 22,000. Shekel, man, that not. So, and you figure it out. Oh, yeah, I overpaid. Here, you know, you overpaid. But let's speak about a sixth. Or any animal. Or Mergolis. Mergolis really means a pearl. It means any jewelry. Go buy a diamond. How much did you pay for your diamond? Fashtein? That's it. So the din is and we'll get to that later. However, the Chachamim tells Rabbi Yehuda, Amru loy, no. Loy Amru Elo Es Elu. That we have a Kabbalah that the only items that are not included in the din of price fraud are the four that we mentioned. Avadim, Shtoris, Karkois, and Egdeshes. And everything else, Sefer Torah, Behema, Margolis, are included in the din of Ayna, and we'll get to that later. Let's start with getting late. The Gemara is first going to go through the four cases of the Mishnah. Why? By those four, Eilam Ayna, Minon Emili, the Tana Rabbanan. And it's very simple. The Pasuk here in Parshas Bahar, the Pasuk that we had not that long ago, the Pasuk from which we also, the Shlokish has learned that by Metaltalin, only Meshichas Koina. The Pasuk that clearly says, Al Toinum. The Pasuk begins, V'chisimkeru Mimker La'amisecha, if you sell something to your friend, Oy konoi, or if you buy something miyada misecha, the Gemara doesn't quote, but the pasuk ends al toinu, don't wrong. Here the wronging means financially wronging ish es achiv, a man to his fellow. So says the Gemara. Ah, the Torah says oy konoi miyad. If you buy something from the hand, what item are we referring to? What is something that you buy from someone's hand, not karka? Because hand, we're taking it literally, means hand. Karka doesn't go into your hand. So, davar hanikna miyad liyad. And what does that exclude? Yotzu karkois. Because karka, real estate, she'en metaltalin, when I sell you my land, it was not in my hand. It doesn't go from my hand to your hand. And also, that's a rule, that yotzu avodim, that also excludes avodim, shehukshu lekarkois, that are compared to karkois. Rashi here, the second Rashi after the Gemara brings the pasuk, v'yisnachaltem oysam levnechem achareichem. That pasuk is speaking about avadim, evet kanani, that when one person passes away, he will bequeath his avadim, shifches, kananim, to his descendants, to his heirs, and the Torah uses the words v'yisnachaltem. And the word nachala is only used in the Torah when it's referring to land. So since we have the words v'hisnachaltim, that's the source. So avodim are hukshu lekarkois. Good. Yotzu shtarois. This pasuk also excludes shtarois from the din of oyna'a, from altoinu, because it says v'chisimkuru mimkar. And if you will sell something, Bechisim Kuru Mimkar, says this Braisa, you know what you're selling? Something, Shegufay Macher, whose very self is being sold. Or Vegufay Kanei, its very self is being bought. In other words, something in English that has intrinsic value. And Yatsu Shtaris, a shtar, when you sell a shtar, obviously, if it only has the value of the paper it's written on, and someone has taka buying paper, there is a no. The Gemara is going to say it in a moment. But if you normally a shtar, no. I'm sorry. Metalton has intrinsic value. This has value.
No. I'm saying why does that have to be a reference to value? Why can't just be a reference?
That's
the thing.
Anyways, that's why we already excluded that from Miyad. You can't have two exclusions. Yatsu shtar she'ein gufan machor ve'ein gufan kanei. The shtar itself. You're not buying or selling the document, you're buying and selling that debt that the document represents. So by the way, says the Braisim, if shtoreis are being excluded only because they don't have intrinsic value, if someone sells his shtoreis of his documents, documents that are not qualified, documents that were paid, documents that don't represent anything, and he's selling it labasam, a spice dealer, to make sure that your spices don't lose their scent, you have to wrap it out. You have to, you know, today you have bottles for everything. So if you sell your shtar for a basam and he's buying it for the paper value, vir yesh lahem ayna. So right away the Gemara interjects, pshita, of course. I mean, we understand that. It's shagufa, it only goes to a shtar raya. So the Gemara says, no, there's a chiddush here. L'darafukim d'Rav Kahana. We just had that. D'Rav Kahana says, ein ayna l'prutais. Rav Kahana says that din of ayna is only if the base item that you're selling, you began with an isser, which is the smallest silver coin. And normally papers are only worth prutas, they're only worth pennies. So you would think, according to Rav Kahana, if you sell a shtar even only for its own paper value, according to Rav, there would be no din of ayna. So kumash malan, our braisa, that if I'm selling a paper for a pruta, and I overcharged you a sixth, then yeshana le prutas. Now what about Hegdish? We just had this yesterday, no? So we learned, one opinion, first of all, the question is whether Oino'a has to be at least a pruta. That's one boya that we had, or the base value. No, in other words, I guess, one opinion held that if I sell you something worth six prutas, and I sold it to you for seven, so I overcharged you a pruta, that's the din of Oino'a. Right? Or we're going to go according to Shmuel, that Aino goes not only on the item, but also to the money. If something is worth six, something is worth five, and I sold you for six, Aino. Right. Came along Rav Kahana and he said, no. That Aino is only when I sell you an item worth at least an isir, that has to be silver here. And here, if I sold it to you, a sixth, we said yesterday, today, of an isir, is a prut and a third. There's no Aino on the prut itself. Okay, so that's Lafuke. Now, Hegdesh, let's go to the final one. There's no din of Ainoa by Hegdesh. Again, we'll see a lot more details later. Exactly what does that mean? But literally it means that if there was an over or charge, if the person who bought it from Hegdesh paid a sixth more, they can never go back to Hegdesh and say, I want that sixth back. Because it's the Pasuk says, Al Toinu Ish Es Achiv. Achiv V'loi Hegdesh. We'll get all these details later. We already learned, I think, yesterday, Yad Hegdesh al Ol Yena. Always. Okay. Now, Maskev lo Rabba Bar Mamol, you excluded Karka because the Torah says, Oy Konoi, Miyad Amisecha, and Miyad means something that goes into your hand. Asks Rabba Bar Mamol, Kol Hechad Chsiv, Yod Yod Imamashu, it can be. Elamato. Let's go. Dichsiv. And this is a pasuk in Parshas Chukas. The pasuk there is telling us the divine providence that Hashem did for our people. That we were told that we're not allowed to harass, certainly not to wage war against Moav. Moav owned lands. It happened to be that before we got there, with Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a war between Sichon and Moav. And Sichon conquered from Moav cities. Amon Moav Teharo Sichon. Now that these cities are under the dominion of Sichon, now when we waged war against Sichon, we were allowed to take those lands. Because we're not taking it from Moav, we're taking it from Sichon. And there it says, Vayikach es kol arzo miyadi, that Sichon, Melech HaMoedi, took all of the lands from Moav. And what's the words? Miyadai. Can you take miyadai? What does that mean? Hachinami duchalada biyadai. Yava nakedlo. What? Moyev was holding on to the land and Sichon took it from him. Oh, that Sichon took it, it makes sense. Oig Melech Habashim picked up a mountain. He picked up land. But Ela, it must mean that when the Torah uses the words hand, it means from your domain, from your ownership. So Hachinami mirashusai. Why are we interpreting the words yadai here in Bahar? To exclude karkois. If you're buying something from the reshus of the other. Kasha. So now the Gemara is going to question. Yeah. So that karka. So now the Gemara is going to question the one who asked the question. What are you telling me because of this one pasuk in Bahar that whenever the Torah uses the words yad, it can also refer to something that's not in your hand? That's also not true. Number one, a pasuk in Mishpatim. It says, "Im himotzei timotzei biyodei." This is the pasuk of a ganef. That if a ganef steals and we find the ganef in his hand, finding it in his hand means that he didn't admit. If a ganef is moide, then he's potter to pay the knas. But if you find it in his hand, he pays kefil. So there's a braisa that says, Eli eli yodoi. Okay, we know the din of kefil. If you find something stolen in the hand of the ganef, what happens if you find an article stolen in the gag, in the roof, in the chatzit, in the yard, in the karfif, in the karfifoi, in the enclosure of a ganef, minayin, that he has to pay kefil? Now let's clarify. If something wandered into the ganef's roof, he's not a ganef. But we're speaking about a case, my animal wandered into your yard, not your, someone's yard, and that someone closed their door, bikavana, to steal. Means they never took it in their hand, but they did an action that now will prevent the owner of getting their item back, that person is chayef kefil. And how do we know it? Because it says, himotzei timotzei, a double expression. Finding it shall be found. So asks the Gemara, in other words, you need to have a double lashon to tell you that din. Time of the cause of Rahmana Himamatsi Timatsi. Which means, if not to the Torah writing a double expression, Havamina, I would have said that you know when do you have the din of a ganef? Kefil. Only if it is biyodai. Kolecha the cause of yodai, yodai mamashu. So now actually we have a proof to the explanation of our Mishnah, but now we have a problem. In other words, what does yodai mean in the Torah? And furthermore, another case where the word yad for itself, by itself, would only mean yad mamish. It says by the end of in Parshas Kiseitzei, in the Dinam of Gittin. The Torah says the words v'nasan, that when the husband is divorcing his wife, his ex-wife-to-be, he has to give it in her hand. So Eli Eliyodo, we only know that a get affects divorce. If it's placed in her hand, what happens if Gago Chatzede V'Karfifa? If the husband places the get in her property, Anoch, before the Chedim V'Rabbeinu Gershon, whether she wanted or not. Minayin, that the get is effective. So there we also need a limud. Talmud Leimer V'Nasan. We learned this in Masech Gittin. It was a Torah could have says, Ubiyada Yitnenu. Ubiyada Yitnenu would have meant he has to put it in her hand. The Torah doesn't say, Ubiyada Yitnenu. The Torah says, V'Nasan Biyada. V'Nasan Biyada means he places it. And placing it can mean anywhere. So again, Tamid the cause of Rahman ibn Asan. There is some type of way that God wrote the words giving it that implies it doesn't dafka be in her hand. Holafahi, then we would have taiched Havamino Kalechiv Yoda Yodi Mamish. So first of all, what does Yode mean? Ella the Gemara says, call Yoda Yodi Mamish. Whenever the Torah uses the words yad, it means hand, dafka. And therefore our limud is backed up. Our limud now is substantiated. The Torah says, Oikonoi miyadami secho. Al-Toinu only goes on something that's sold miyad liyad. There only is one question. There's the Torah uses the word ziyad when Sichain, Melech Sichain, took the lands from miyad malchehu amayri. By land, it wasn't in his yad. Vishani hasam, by land, the lekalame mahach elabirashusay. In other words, when the Torah is writing the word ziyad in the context, in a scenario where it's not shayich yad, that is where we have to say that yad also means reshus. But if not for us being forced to say so, the default interpretation of yad is mamish yad. So now we have the limud that excludes karka from the din of aina, because the Torah only speaks about aina by metaltlin. Now I heard a beautiful explanation. What's the logic behind it? Logic behind it is that when you know when I make price fraud. But being that karka lasts forever, Let's say I overpaid. It's for sure that at a certain time in the future, the price that I paid is stuck at the value of the land. See, buying metaltalin by default, metaltalin does not last forever. And metaltalin, it doesn't matter. No. The point is, it's cyclical, but since land, good svara. Let's go weiter. Now, a couple of boys. Let's hop around as much as we could. No, boy, Rab Zeiro. What about schiros? These are good gemaras. What about rental? If you are paying oino on rental,
what's the one
now? Let's say the market value in this neighborhood for one bedroom apartment now is $3,200. You paid a sixth more. Can you ask for the money back? By karka ein lohem oino. How do we view rental? So. Do we say the Torah, the pasuk of Aino that excludes karka begins with the word sell, which would mean that avoloi schirus. So maybe, no, here we're saying that there is Aino on schirus. The exclusion of karka is when karka is being sold, but if karka is being rented, then it is included. Just like there's no oino for sale of karka, there's no oino for rental. So for that we have an answer. Amalei Abaya, miksiv mimkar lo'olam. When the Torah uses the words sale, the Torah never uses I sold something to you forever. And the rule in Chazal is that a rental is mamish, a temporary sale. Dinei mezuzah. Bidikas Chometz, I'm trying to think all the dinam. When you rented something, you own it temporarily. Mimkar stamaksiv. Aha. Very good, very good, very good point. At the Rishonim speak out over here that we're not speaking about land rental. Land rental is not included in Oino. Either way you look at it, because it's not miyad. It's not miyad, very good. The question is, if we are renting metaltalin, very good. So metaltalin is subject to the laws of Aino, but I'm not selling it. And the Gemara says that renting it is like selling it. Thanks for the correction. So very good.
Donkey and a car?
So when you rent movables, it's bound to the laws of Aino, just like when you buy metaltalin. So if I'm renting a car, the din of Aino, you overcharged me. Now, boy, Rava, look at this now. Chitin, if there was wheat kernels, vizoran bakarka, and they were put into the ground. After they were put into the ground, they were sold, but they were sold before they took root, as we'll see in a moment. And I overcharged you a sixth. Can the defrauded party ask for the money back within that time frame? How do you look at these kernels? They are now on the ground. Mao, yesh lemayno, oyen lemayno. The Gemara speaks on both sides. Do we say command the shadyon b'chad damyon, that putting them in the ground before they took root, before they take root, is like putting them in a jug, and therefore it's normal metaltalin upon which there's the din of ayno. Yesh lemayno, oydema, or since they are in the ground, do we say batlinu al gav ara, they're a part of the land? Now the Gemara has to clarify exactly. What happened? What was the fraud over here? What was the sixth that went off? Clarifies the Gemara. Hechidami. Ilei medo amar iu. If the seller tells the buyer that I want you to know that shadoi bashita, that I put into the ground, let's say six kav, six whatever quantities of seeds, of grain, which can be, by the way, grain has a dual purpose. The grain itself, you can grind into flour, you can eat it, or the grain themselves are planted. So I put it into the ground, and witnesses come and say, no, you didn't put in six, you put in five. In other words, if the fraud was in the quantity, that for sure has oina'a. Because Rava said, kol davar shebemida veshebemishkel veshebeminyan, anything that was sold on a precise, whether it is a quantity, whether it is a weight, whether it is a size, afilu pachos mechdei oino, even if the fraud was less than a six, the whole sale is nullified. And to word it better, that's not called oino. That's not called price fraud. It's called mekach tos. If I said, I want to buy 12 eggs. If I got 11 eggs, it's not that I can demand the money back. I can do that if I want to. I have the right to nullify the whole sale. So more than a sixth, we're calling that nekach tos. It's not even called Oina. So for sure, that's not the scenario. Elo, the case was the Omar Ihu, the seller tells the buyer, I put into the ground all of the seeds necessary to make this field have a full harvest. But I never gave an amount. Means I properly planted the field, this field. And later, when the season came and went and the produce grew, you notice that it's a tshvach, it's not filled up. And the difference is in a six. That's the question. If I would have mentioned the quantity, then it's mekachtos. And mekachtos not connected to a six. If it's not exactly what I said, the whole sale is not a sale. Here I didn't mention an amount, it was an estimation, and that's the concept of price fraud. What do we say? Do we say commander shadali bechada damian? Since it did not yet take root, it's considered metaltalin, and therefore yesh lamayno. Idilma, since they are in the ground, batlinu agavara. We're going to go further. And the Gemara gives another nafkamina where you're going to see whether we view this as metaltalin or whether we view this as land. There's a rule, ein nishbain ala karkois. So, for example, one of the biblical oaths is Moedim Amixas. Let's go to our case, and Ashi gives the example. The seller tells the buyer that, we're going to go on Ashi, that I put into the ground six kav of kernels. And that's what the seller tells the buyer. The buyer tells the seller, you only put in five. You didn't put in six. And he's not being mevatel de mekach. He only wants to, he's saying that you only put in five. In other words, I only want to pay you for five. Comes along the seller and he says, I put in 5.5. Does the seller have to swear for the other half? He might have done the five. We're not talking about the din of Bittul Mekach. We're talking about, is that called the Moedim Mixas? Now, interestingly, even though they're debating over the one, since whatever he's admitting that he put it into the ground, so there's a rule, whenever there is a partial denial, partial admittance, by ground, you don't have to swear. Now she brings this example from Moedim Mixas. Even though the denial is what you didn't put into the ground. The denial is not karka, but since what you admitted is, you admitted that you did put it into the ground, if it's viewed as karka, then there's no shvua. Nishboin alein, ain't nishboin alein. Command the shadim echad adam even nishboin alein. Even that which you put into the ground is considered movables. Dilma batlinu agav argav ain't nishboin alein. Another final example where we'll have this nafkaminu. Oimer, matiron ain't no matiron. If you plant grains into the ground, remember this. If they took root before the carbon omer was brought on the 16th of Nisan, even though they did not grow yet, since they already took root, the omer is matter them. So do we say that the omer was matter them when they are on the ground or not, to which the Gemara already says, one second, did they take root, did they not take root? And that's a befedish mishnah. Hechidami, ida ashrush tanina, ida le ashrush tanina. That can't be a question. If I plant kernels into the ground now, and it took root before the omer was brought, even though it wasn't didn't grow yet, it took root. When I harvest it later, I can eat it right away. Omer matinon. Eat the lav. And if it did not take root, asudin not sheyovei omer haba. So the Gemara clarifies. You know where you'll have the nafkamina whether kernels in the ground or are metaltalin. Not when I am thinking of leaving them in the ground and eating them later. Then, did they take root or did they not take root? I put them in the ground and now I'm changing my mind and I want to take them out and eat them themselves. The case was the chatzdinu vizarinu. They were harvested, but not to be eaten, to be planted. And they were planted. And they were planted before the Omer.
Where are they?
Right now they are in the ground. And what's Vasala Omer, the Khalif Ilavayu Vilayashish Kaidim Omer. They are in the ground. They did not take root before the Omer. And I sold them, not selling them. I put them in the ground. Forget about sale, Daf Nun Zayin. And now the question is, Mahu Leminka to Mechal Minayu. Can you take them out and eat them? Don't forget, they were harvested before the Omer. They were harvested before the Omer. That for sure the Omer was matted. I planted them, they should grow again. For that, the Omer was not matted. It didn't take root. But now I'm taking it back out. Do we say that now that I am eating it, they were already harvested before the Omer. Do we say command the shadim b'chad adami? Even though they were physically in the ground, we viewed them as being in a jug. So you had these kernels, and therefore visharinu Omer, now you can eat it. Idilma, since you put them in the ground, they were bottled to the ground, even though they didn't take root. It's considered ground. The fact that the Omer came and went does not affect those kernels. And therefore, you have to wait until the next year. And on all of these questions, says the Gemara, the question stands to be continued.